Following program may contain material or language that may be considered objectionable. Parental guidance is suggested.
Survey time again. Is everybody here to see the original, to see the Black and White Express? Survey says one more for the good guy.
Showtime.
It's showtime.
You are tuned in to SNS Unplugged, your source for pro wrestling discussion.
Because our time is now! Because the champ is here!
Wrestling news sponsored by wrestling-online.com.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
With your hosts, all the way from New York City. Bronzilla. Tony J. Mirabella.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
And residing in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Mr.
Money on the mic.
Say hello to the bad guy.
Jeff Jackson.
I'm an asshole. Assholes finish first.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Unscripted, uncensored, unbelievable. It's unplugged.
We are the best in the world at what we do.
And it starts now.
Guys, welcome back to another edition of Unplugged right here on the SNS Radio Network. A little different as we are returning in the year 2015 after a nice little vacation in December of last year. Had a lot going on with my family. One reason we're so late getting back this year, it is, as of this recording, it is January 13th, a Tuesday, and this is kind of a surprise podcast that we're putting together for you guys. So I hope you enjoy it. We will be having a guest join us here momentarily. But before we get to all that, of course, I am Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson. And joining me, as always, my co-host all the way from the NYC. He is Bronxzilla, Tony J. Mirabella.
I'm telling you, man, I had to dust off the microphone.
It's been a minute, dude.
I was using it as a hat stand.
I know. Have you been doing getting the zone? I mean, what's been going on there?
We were supposed to do one this past Sunday, and then something came up. And then tonight, this was a surprise for me as well, that we were going to do this show. So it's not going anywhere. We'll be recording again. I'm not sure if I'm going to do one tomorrow night, but we've done a Get in the Zone right before New Year. So I'm just glad to be back with you, man, doing Unplugged yet again.
Yeah, you know, like we said, lots of changes are happening to the show. It's going to be from now on in podcast form. The regular taping schedule is going to be Saturday nights, and then we'll have it released, obviously, on Sunday. So it's going to go back to once a week, unless, of course, we have interviews, in which case we'll put out two shows. One will be the interview show with maybe a little extra. And then, of course, our weekly show will consist of the usual, the Raw recap, the Lucha Underground recap, which... and there's changes within that itself. Joining us on the program from now on to do the Lucha Underground recap will be Sandro of the whole indie show. And unfortunately, we had to wish Anthony Farley, old A-Fart, goodbye. He's still co-hosting with Bronx on Get in the Zone. But we are going to have something new for the NXT recap. I'm not going to let you know what that is just yet, but I'll wait and surprise you guys when our show comes out this weekend. So, like I said, lots of changes. Looking forward to the future here on the SNS Radio Network, what we're going to bring to you guys in 2015. Hope you guys enjoy it. But as we mentioned at the top of the program, we are expecting to be talking with a member of the new reality series that's on WGN America. It's called Wrestling with Death. It focuses on the Latham family of Osceola, Arkansas, who run a mortuary by day and are wrestlers by night. And we're going to be talking with Derek King, who is a independent pro wrestler. You've actually probably seen him on some WWE matches like Jacked, and he's done some stuff for Memphis Championship Wrestling, OVW. So he's been around for a while. We'll be talking with Derek King here in just a few moments of Wrestling with Death. This is the program that beat out Impact on WGN America, Bronx.
Wow. I mean, you know, reality series are like, it's been the norm for so many years now. I've never really gotten into too many reality series. I mean, I used to watch Tough Enough, but that was about it. Like, I was never a Survivor guy or any of these hardcore reality shows. But I mean, this is something that's really... unique, I don't think, is the proper word.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the trailer for this thing, it's very interesting. It actually debuts tonight. Again, this is January 13th at, 10 p.m. Eastern. So it'll be on 30 minutes from now, even though that's not helping you guys. But it's going to debut tonight. Guys, joining us on the phone line right now, we have one of the cast members of Wrestling with Death. He is an independent pro wrestler himself. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, Derek King. Derek, what's going on?
Oh, nothing much. I am right now, I would say I'm live at the premiere. We're here at a country club here in Osceola about to get ready to watch the show.
Very cool, man. Right off the top, I got to say, I'm talking to you from Calgary, Alberta. I'm an American. I'm living in Calgary. I actually married a Canadian about 8 years ago and moved here. But the funny thing is, I'm from your neck of the woods. I'm not from Osceola, but I grew up and spent a good chunk of my life, 15 to 20 years, living in Arkansas, mainly in Little Rock.
Oh, gotcha. Maybe 5 or 6 years. I've been in Arkansan. I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee, so... I grew up on the Memphis wrestling world, but my wife has got me here in Arkansas.
so we already have something in common. I know that I've seen you on Memphis television doing stuff for Memphis Championship Wrestling.
Right. I have to be able to do Memphis wrestling and, you know, powerful wrestling with Randy Hills. And Brandon Baxter, Memphis Wrestling, you know, Lawler and Jerry Lawler and Corey Macklin. I've been a lucky guy in the wrestling business.
I want to introduce to you at this time my co-host, who is calling in from New York City, Bronx. Say hello to Derek.
Derek, how are you this evening?
I am wonderful. I am obviously we're having a wonderful time today.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, wow, it must be pretty big, you know, to be at the, you know, premiere of a show and being together with all the, I'm sure you got the cast members there and everyone, the filmmakers. And I was talking to Jeff before we started the show and was just saying, you know, reality television now, this is such a concept to be a wrestling fan and actually have a reality show based on wrestling.
Right, and you know, it's funny, I obviously have heard the questions about reality TV and all that kind of stuff. This is not like any other reality TV show. This seriously is an unscripted show, and I know it's a wrestling fan, and as a wrestler, that you know, most people think that everything is scripted in the world, and it's not scripted all the time. So we, you know, like I talked with some people this morning, I go, you know, wrestling can be predetermined, if you want to call it that, or whatever you want to say about this. But those bumps hurt. But everything in this show, just like it was for me in wrestling, this is my real life. This is what really happens. And my family really goes through this every day. It's just that we just get to, you know, shine on that right now. And people get to see the rest of the world. The rest of the world gets to see it, actually, from some side.
Well, yeah, I think especially like even when you're a kid and you watch wrestling, it's like, oh, these guys are, you know, they're superheroes. They don't get hurt, man. The things they do are amazing. And of course, we don't get to see what happens after the match, man, when you're putting on ice and you're hurting and maybe you took a bad bump and you need a few stitches. You know, that's the stuff we don't get to see. So to me, it's very compelling.
Right. You know, it's, you know, even, and you know, don't, and not disrespect any wrestler in the world. I've been wrestling 21 years, and I'll just let you know that, you know, I watch, you know, some of the stuff, you know, I mean, I watch WWE every week, and that's the truth. And the idea is, you know, most of the world, I mean, most of our country watch, you know, watch WWE. And for people to just say, oh, those guys, you know, just phony or whatever, these guys get beaten, you know, and they're trying to provide entertainment, and it's a big entertainment world you have to get a live in, because the audience is so demanding, and the world is so demanding, but I can guarantee this, and I'm not knocking the audience at all. If they were in the shoes of the guys doing that, it would be a different story to think of how life would be, because it's hard to do all that stuff and try to keep all that together.
It absolutely is. I mean, you know, I'm someone who comes from a wrestling background. I trained in 98 and wrestled for a little bit, then I kind of moved on to being a manager, ring announcer, and did some color.
Color
hey, you know what? It's easier on your body to go that route. I was just always,
for sure.
I was always the guy that liked to talk. So they're like, you know what? Let's get a microphone in your hand. Stop taking the bumps and just talk. And so I did that for a little bit. The interesting thing about the show, the Latham family, obviously they run a mortuary, but now it seems like they're also running a wrestling promotion as well. How long have they been wrestling? You know, I know you've been doing it for 21 years, but how long has the Latham family themselves been getting in the ring?
Well, here's the thing. The Latham family actually have been helping run wrestling for 22 years.
Oh, wow.
Moondog Spot, I'm sure you've watched Memphis Wrestling or know from even WWE, Moondog Spot was a big deal, you know, in Mid-South, for sure. The Moondogs helped resurrect Memphis for a while.
Absolutely.
Moondog Spot lived here in Osceola, so they kind of helped get, you know, LaFonce and his wife helped get the, you know, help the, you know, sponsors for the show, first of all. Different sponsors to the show to being part of the show. You know, and then, like, Sandra, Miss Sandra, which is my mother-in-law, and some of these guys, first time matches were with me. And so they have been here for 22 years, and, you know, it kind of just all evolved from there. I mean, when I think about it, even looking back now, it's like, that's been years ago, and then to come back and still have, you know, the same show. You know, these guys run weekly, every week, every Friday night. And, you know, I've been a part of Memphis TV twice, and then, you know, been a part of, you know, some other independent shows, you know, and these guys are still running. So longevity is definitely in their blood.
Well, you know, and that's the good thing about a small town. There's not a lot of things to do in a small town. You know, watching the commercial, someone said that, you know, the only thing to do other than going to wrestling is going to Walmart. So, I mean, that definitely helps, you know, cure the boredom. Right, and I would say.
I would say this too for a lot of independents out there, because I respect all these guys, and I wish I could wrestle everybody in the business, but that's the truth, because I just love it. But, you know, compared to like, well, you know, all we got to go to is wrestling at Walmart, you know, that's not that every independent company kind of want to stay. Like, I wish they just didn't have this at Walmart to go to instead of wrestling, because I'm sure that across the country they deal with football games and basketball games and, you know, movies and blah, 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 stuff like that. And the small town, they don't have to deal with so much of that. They just have to deal with sometimes occasional football game or an occasional basketball game, but mostly it's just wrestling and wrestling in Walmart. You're right. And Walmart's going to be there open 24 hours. So we're pretty good on our little time schedule too.
No doubt. How has the transition been trying to learn how to be a mortician for you?
To be honest, I don't like that part of it. I'm more of the guy that wants to be in the office, answer the phone, you know, say hello to everybody and work on the computer. The mortician part, I am certainly not ready for. And I'm sure on this show you can definitely tell that.
Well, you know, that's something I don't know that I could do it. You know, it was hard enough for me a couple years ago when my dad passed away, you know, and seeing him in that state. I don't know that I could do that. So I give you kudos for, you know, going out there and trying.
It's a funny thing, because, you know, I'm sorry about that, but I would tell you the funny thing. My mother died when I was 22 years old, and when she died, I requested to be closed casket, because I would be sitting on front row, and I would not want to see my mother in that state. I didn't want to see any of that. It was just one of those kind of things, you know, death for a lot of people. I'm one of those people. I'm not a big, you know, obviously I live to live. I want it to be the greatest world, you know, I want to live the greatest life ever, but it's obviously it's going to happen one day. You know, I'm trying to get a petition to get it stopped, but it's not happening. So I guess it's still going on.
You know, petitions don't do any good these days, man.
Yeah, you're so right, TJ. You got me there.
I don't know, man. Maybe one day they'll, you know, be able to put our brains in computers and we won't have to deal with it. But, you know, I'm, you know, it's funny today, you know, a mouse died in my office at work and I just couldn't bring myself to, I just like don't have the guts to do it. And we're talking about a mouse, and imagine having to, you know, prepare a human being, and also the obligation that you have to their family to try to do the best job you can, because most funerals, sadly, are open casket. So
you're exactly right. And I'm sorry if I feel like I'm cutting you up, but you're exactly right, because that job is a very, very big deal. You know, you cannot just say, okay, throw them in the casket, it's okay. When these guys do a hell of a job, and I commend those guys. Every day at work, I'm like, I'd rather be you guys than me, because I don't know what I would be doing back there if I could handle it. But you guys make, you know, if you make the family happy, and, you know, you're trying to get the family through the toughest time of their life, which is, I mean, everybody's going through death. That's the toughest time in life. And, you know, and you make the person, well, they look like they did when, you know, when I saw them last. Sometimes it's a very good thing, you know, the people just look consoled and that's what the funeral home does. And I learned that in the process of the show. I learned that all through the show. And that's one of those kind of things, you know, it was a learned lesson for me. And it was a learned lesson, I guess. It would be a learned lesson for the people who watched it, because it's not easy for a person to do those kind of things, because nobody wants to do that.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Have they got you on any ribs, man, you know, in the funeral home?
Oh yeah, the first week, the camera crew's here. The biggest rib ever happens, because I've never been in the prep room, and so, like, you know, you'll see tonight on the show, because I think that's one of the first episodes, and it's been on the clips. But like, I didn't walk in there, and it's the first time I'm like, going into the prep room, and there's a body, and they're like, I'm not going up with the body. I'm adamant about not going up with the body, because I don't know, not the death, because even if the dead could hurt me. But it's just something about a dead body. If I walk in the room and there's a body on the gurney, but yet the body's alive and it jumps up while I'm sitting there, we're talking, and he jumps up. It's my brother-in-law, Jerry, and I'm out of there. I can't take it, because it's one kind of like, I don't need to deal with that because that kind of takes me off. I'm thinking maybe I don't need this job. You know, maybe I can find something else to do. But it's one of, you know, it's a crazy situation that they call the initiation of working at the funeral home. I think they could come up with something better.
Wow. Sure. That's great.
And I'm sure a lot of people will be like, oh, you know, it's not fun to joke about things like that. But I think that in a lot of senses, you know, humor helps us get through hard, very emotional things in our life.
It
might seem to a lot of people like, oh, that's not funny. But I think every job you have to insert some type of humor, especially a job like that, to just, in a way, it kind of gets you used to it and really shows, you know, can this guy handle it?
Right. Not only that, it's just, you know, I agree wholeheartedly 100% with you. The thing is, life can't be that serious. I mean, we only hear once. You know, you start to weigh the options of living when you work in your funeral. You're only here one time, you know, so enjoy the best you can. If you went to work every day just somber and hated the world, you living for it. I'm not trying to say go out there and jump off a bridge. I'm definitely not saying that. I'm just saying life is so much to live for. So enjoy it and laugh when you can. You know, make a little light of some situation so the tense is not, you know, it's not so intense about, you know, going to work every day or so intense about living every day. But I think that some people think that, and that's, you know, that's people, and that's what the world we live in. You know, glass half full, glass half empty. You know, we're still stuck in that situation, but at the end of the day, you have to enjoy it, because if you don't, you're just losing out. And I feel like that about a lot of things, especially working at the funeral, because I wasn't open to a lot of things until the show. And, you know, I was, you know, obviously there was a stigma of us going into the show thinking we're doing reality TV. What does that mean? You know, obviously you hear the people talk about reality TV, but I mean, you know, if it was anybody else's family, I'd like to think, you know, if it's a positive outlook, you can do something about that.
Very true. That's very true.
That's crazy. You know, I just think, you know, but, you know, it's just one of those kind of things you just want to, I've heard so many comments about, you know, how it works. I just want people to realize this is entertainment. And, you know, it's on the television set. It's entertainment. But this is my real life. And I just want to make the best for everybody. And not only that, you know, it's a tough job. Like the two guys who do the embalming, you know, the guy who does the embalming and the guy who's the funeral director, I wouldn't want the job in for anything in the world, that's for sure. But, you know, somebody has to do it.
That's true. So the show obviously premieres tonight on WGN America. There's two 15 back-to-back.
Minutes away, by the way, 15 minutes away.
yeah, we are 15 minutes away from the premiere. Show debuts yes. tonight. There's two back-to-back episodes, so you get an hour right. block of wrestling with death. So what would you tell the people that maybe are on the fence about this, why they should watch the show?
First of all, give it a chance. Don't think it's not, you know, your regular reality show where it's just talking about themselves all the time. This is real life. Because, you know, there's a lot of families that are involved in this, not just our family. And not to mention, this is somebody's real life. This is our real life. And it kind of shows you, it tells you that we're trying to have the moment we're saying, yes, we go through sadness a lot, but there's always a high point because we realize, you know, we want to entertain people on the weekends, and that's what we do, you know. That's our job, you know, to take care of people and make sure people are happy. And I don't know if I could live for anything else, but just like, I just want everybody to be happy and have a good time. And not to be, you know, like, melodramatic here, but you just want to have a good time. I mean, you only got one of these, like I've said earlier. You want to have one of these. You just want to have a good time. And I think most of the people in the world will just want to have a good time in life instead of worrying about, oh, my God, tomorrow, you know, it's just such a bad day, you know, because even though it's a hard, like I said, I lost my mother when I was 22 years old, which was the hardest thing in the world for me. But, hey, I had nothing there for me, and I've been a wrestler for 21 years, and my mother knew that made me happy. And so, you know, that's a big deal. So we're just trying to make people happy, put smiles on some faces.
And at the end of the day, that's the best thing. That's the best thing you can do, and I applaud you guys for that.
I appreciate it. I really do.
You know, on a lighter note, I was thinking about this before the show. The first name, that popped into my head was I couldn't help but think of the late, great Percy Pringle. Of course, everyone
right.
knows Paul Bearer. And I remember years ago reading he's actually a licensed, he was a licensed like mortician. And I said, okay, this is a work. And I went to a couple of different websites and I'm like, oh my God, not only is he a licensed mortician, but he's playing this character, Paul Bearer. And I thought, wow, the irony was amazing. It's a shame that he couldn't be around to see this show. I think he would have found it captivating.
Right. And it's funny. He once said, he goes, him being a pallbearer, or, you know, like being the gimmick itself, being a guy in the funeral, being the funeral director, he also understood that he just felt his fit in today. And it's one of those kind of things that, you know, he was just doing his job, and that's, you know, it's because he knew who he was. And then, you know, knowing who he was, it kind of lightened the situation. You know, the people got through it a lot better. That's what you really want people to do, is get through that death a little bit better than having to get through life. Nobody wants to grieve all the time. You can't grieve forever. One can't grieve forever.
Very, yeah, absolutely.
Very true. Well, Derek, I want to thank you for stopping by, man. It was good talking to you. And I was thinking maybe I worked with you at some point. You know, I've worked a lot of little towns in Arkansas. I worked some stuff in Memphis, but it's been years, man. You just look familiar to me. I know I've seen you on TV, and I seems like I've worked with you before. I just don't. If well, I did, it was years ago.
We'll have to research them, and then just won't. This is Derek King. This is the Unplugged on SNS. Watch Wrestling with Death every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Central.
All right, man. Good luck on the show, and you know, hopefully we'll talk with you guys maybe later on in the season and see how things are going. But it was good to talk to you, man.
All right, man. Let me know anytime you need. Thank you very much.
All right, Derek.
All right, man.
Bye.
Take care.
There's not much to do in this town other than going to Walmart's, going out to eat, or coming to wrestling. Rather come to wrestling.
Sometimes it hurts, but I love it. A family that wrestles together stays together. My wrestling name is Big Daddy. White Lightning.
Man makes.
Derek King. Here in Osceola, Arkansas, my family and I run the biggest mortuary service in town. Anybody that's had a death in their family, they've came through these doors.
Dealing with death gets tough.
So I decided to give death a rest and pump some life in this little town. So I started Friday Night Wrestling.
Man, are you really going to start wrestling?
I'm not ready for this.
Just try. You have one shot. That's it. Our job is to entertain the people.
Well, how'd it go last night?
I did better than expected.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute.
Welcome to the family, big boy.
Okay, Derek, this is the preparation room. You come over here, you'll find
it. Sorry for your loss. Come tonight and see my Nana wrestle.
All right, there you have it. Wrestling with Death, WGN America. It premieres tonight. Again, it's another wrestling-based show that focuses on more than just wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm going to check it out just because it's something completely different, and it sounds like there's a lot of humor involved too, so I don't know.
Well, like I said, I also want to like watch it because it's kind of like a homecoming for me, because, you know, Osceola is about, I don't know, 50-60 miles outside of Memphis on the Arkansas side, so, you know, it's in my home state of Arkansas, so I've never been to Osceola, so I'd like to watch the show and kind of get the feel of the lay of the land, if you will.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a great trailer, but they could have made it just a little bit more redneck.
I don't know, man. I thought it was interesting that the little boy said, I'm sorry for your loss, but come see my Nana wrestle. I was like, I don't know about that. I don't know how I would take that as someone who just lost somebody, but, you know, he's 9 years old. What do you do, right?
Yeah, kids say the darndest things. I mean, that's like... Wow. Okay. So at least he said, I'm sorry for your loss. He knew enough to say that, and he knew enough to pimp out the show. So, hey, the kid's going places.
No doubt. No doubt. But let's go ahead and take our first commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to do some fantasy booking. And Bronx and I are going to give our thoughts on how we would book WrestleMania 31. So stay tuned for that on this very special edition of Unplugged.
Chavo. Chavo, todo
Yo, what's going on? This is Chavo Guerrero Jr., and you're listening to Unplugged on the SNS Network. Viva la raza!
Hola, papi.
Hey guys, it's me, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson. Are you looking for the latest wrestling news? Well, then you should check out www.wrestling-online.com. Sign up for the newsletter. It's been around for 16 years, and it's one of the longest running newsletters on the internet today. It comes right to your inbox 3 to 4 times a week, depending on how busy the news week is. Want that access on your phone? They also have mobile apps for your iOS, Apple, and BlackBerry. The archives of all the Unplugged shows, as well as columns. You can also follow WrestlingOnline.com on Twitter, @WrestlingOnline. Or check them out on Facebook, www.facebook.com/WrestlingOnline. It's that simple. Wrestling-Online.com is the official news source of the SNS Radio Network. And perhaps you should make it your official news source as well. Once again, that's www.wrestling-online.com.
Traditions, courage, and my personal favorite, a good old-fashioned fight.
I'm the Wednesday Night Delight, Johnny Mundo. Cueto's got a lot of money and a lot of power, but I don't think he has any idea what he's gotten himself into.
I've wrestled everyone, from The Undertaker to John Cena, to the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, to Rey Mysterio, all around the world!
And right here is where I can test myself, to prove to everybody that I am the best in the world.
Orale, my name is Conan. I've been in this business for 3 decades. My new protege, Prince Puma, was born to be a Lucha Libre legend. This kid is a direct descendant of the fiercest tribe of the Aztecs. Then Lucha Underground, I will show him his glory.
El Rey Network presents a new vision of an age-old contest. Measured by courage, decided by combat. Lucha Underground, Wednesday at 8 p.m. only on the new El Rey Network.
We all try to get out of this, out of that, out of a lot of things. But on January 25th, the last place you'll want to be is out. 30 men. extraordinary opportunity.
One of these men will main event WrestleMania.
Who will be the one?
1, 2, 3, turn.
To stay in. WWE Royal Rumble, Sunday, January 25th, live on WWE Network.
Right through that door.
Of the sea, back to the block, Snoop Doggy Dog, Monkey at the dock. Went solo on that ass, but it's still the same. Long Beach is the spot where I serve my cane. Follow me, but don't lose your grip. Nine Trizzy, they is there for me to fuck up shit. So I ain't
holding up. Welcome back to Unplugged with Bronx Villa, Tony J. Marabella, and Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, on the SNS Radio Network.
To the wild, creeping and crawling, Yiggy, yes, yo, then Snoop Doggy Dog in the motherfucking house like every day, dropping shit with my nigga, Mr. Dr.
It's the J to the J, and we're back on Unplugged right here on the SNS Radio Network. I'm joined by Bronxzilla, Tony J. Marabella. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I'm the only show on the freaking internet that would use that song to intro two white boys in their mid-30s.
Hey, we got soul. What's this mid-30s shit? I'm 40, you motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shit.
Fuck the Bronx.
Fuck. We got fucking 77 years between us.
I mean, bro, we've done a show since I turned 40. How did you forget?
I, for some reason, thought you were 39. Maybe it was just denial.
No, denial is a river in Egypt, okay?
Oh, God. Your first joke of the new year, and you're going to start with that?
Well, I had to keep it PG. My studio got invaded by young ears.
Uh-oh. Okay. Let's call Vince McMahon and tone it down.
Yes, in fact, Vince McMahon has already called me and said that joke was too racy. You're going to have to clean your shit up, Jeff.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Vince McMahon, and speaking of the WWE... Although I'm not really sure why we would, considering the awful shows as of late we've been getting on Raw. But I will leave that to this weekend when we actually do the Raw recap. We do have some things that we're going to talk about on this particular show. I would have done this weekend, but honestly, we won't have time once we jump into the Raw recap, the NXT recap, the Lucha Underground recap, news of the week, all the stuff that we do on a regular basis. So this was the perfect opportunity to kind of do some fantasy booking on how we see WrestleMania 31 shaping up, how we would book the show if, of course, Bronx and I had the magic ink pen.
And by the way, send your emails and hate tweets to us regarding, you know, who the fuck do these guys think they are booking WrestleMania? My God, they think they work for Vince McMahon, these two motherfuckers.
And speaking of sending the emails, of course, you can send us emails at snsradiounplugged@yahoo.ca, or you can go a step further, and from now on, I'd like to incorporate this, so I would like some listener participation, but going forward, I will even allow you to call the Skype line, whether you add us on Skype, you add Sunday Night Showdown, or you call us at 501-588-7957, and you leave us an audio email in a voicemail form. Going forward, we're going to use that as well.
Oh, that's going to be great.
I mean, you know, we're always talking about, you know, people are always wanting to call in. Well, we're not a live show anymore. But if you would like to participate in the show, and you do have your thoughts that you want to do, instead of chiming them, you know, writing them down in an email or typing them in an email, hey, man, call the number and leave us a voicemail. It's that simple.
And by the way, that number is 501-588-7957. Long distance charges may apply, so don't bitch if you get a huge bill. Or as JJ just said, add Sunday Night Showdown to your Skype.
It's that simple. We want to hear from you. If you think the show sucks, tell us. If you think the show's great, tell us. But, you know, just tell us something. And definitely, your feedback is welcome. So definitely, if you have any concerns or questions or retorts, or you think we're stupid because we're booking this show, well, hey, feel free to send us a line or, you know, drop a voicemail. It's that simple.
Yeah, I'm all for the negative ones. I mean, if you want to tell us how much we suck, we welcome that too.
The bottom line is it's participation.
Exactly. I just think this is going to be both fun and disastrous at the same time.
Well, 2015 is going to be a banner year for us, good or bad, and it starts with listener participation.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's what we want. You know, we know you guys are out there listening. We just want you to let us know. Tell us who you are. If you just want to call up and say, hey, I'm Jim from, you know, Wisconsin. I love the show. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. So how do we want to do this? Like, I'll play the fantasy sounder, obviously. But do you want to go first, or do you want to do a match, and then I do a match, and then we kind of go back and forth? How do you want to do this?
See, I don't know how many matches you may have put down. What I think we should do is decide who's going to go first and just go through the matches, and then the other guy will go. And because I know yours is probably going to be better than mine. I rewrote mine about 5 times today because when I look at the current product, I just don't know where they're going. So it was a lot more difficult than I thought it would be to come up with something, you know, for enough of the guys that I like. So it's going to be interesting. If you want to go first, I'm fine with that.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's do this. What I'm going to do, we're going to play this fantasy sounder. I'll start, but I want to do one match at a time. We'll start with the main event.
Ooh,
and okay. Go down to the lower matches. So I'll tell you my main event and express why I think it's going to go that way. And then you tell me yours, and we'll banter back and forth, and we'll just go that way from match to match.
All right, so we're going to do a TNA style, ass backwards, no problem.
Yeah, it's more interactive this way.
Yeah, let's do it. Because,
you know, if I read my list and you read your list, then we're going to go back to what we just did. We're going to go back, well, okay, I would do this. Let's just go match to match, starting from the main event to down, you know, to the preliminary match that's on the fucking pre-show on the WWE Network. So we're going to go main event to pre-show, just like that.
Sounds good.
All right, let's go ahead and do this. All right, let's get us started on WrestleMania 31 if Jeff Jackson was booking the show. My main event, ladies and gentlemen, and when I say the main event, it closes the show. I heard on a podcast last week from a longtime renowned Hall of Fame broadcaster that just because your match isn't the last one doesn't mean you're not a main event. Bullshit. The main event is the very last match on the card. I'm sorry. That's the one thing I will agree with CM Punk on. The main event is the last match that closes the show. Bottom line, that's the way it is.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Co-main event, bullshit.
This one is going to be controversial and surprising, and I'm going to get a ton of heat. But ladies and gentlemen, my main event for WrestleMania 31, Seth Rollins defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against the winner of the Royal Rumble, Dolph Ziggler.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to put Ziggler in, but wow. Be a hell of a match, I'll tell you that.
I think so.
Because, yeah,
because, I mean
just
look, here's the way I look at this. I'm almost certain it's a no-brainer at this point that they added Seth Rollins into the Royal Rumble match so that Brock Lesnar could lose the title without getting pinned and that Seth Rollins could take the pinfall from John Cena.
So Brock will lose the belt without getting pinned, which means he'll still be that undefeated beast. He'll just drop the title, okay? And what I see happening afterward is Brock going apeshit nuts on John Cena because he just took his title by beating Seth Rollins. And maybe Brock gives him another 20 fucking German suplexes and about 20 F5s and completely destroys John Cena and walks away, allowing Seth Rollins to hit a curb stomp, cash in, and win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I think that's the direction that they're going in. And it makes sense to do this because right now Rollins is, in my opinion, the number one heel in that company. He has solidified himself. Rusev, yes, he's there, but he's not on the level of a Seth Rollins right now. The fact that the Authority is backing Seth, and he's been pretty vile for, I don't know, the last 8 months, his progression as a heel has really worked well. So I think, why not give him the spot of going into WrestleMania as the champion and having him defeated by a white-hot babyface? And I can't think of a hotter babyface in this company right now than Dolph fucking Ziggler. I mean, everything this kid has done, the fans have been behind him for years, let's be honest. But when you look at the body of work that Dolph Ziggler has done since SummerSlam, going into Survivor Series, he has been white-hot. And the fans, he has them in the palm of his hand. You know, this is in my opinion, this is Dolph Ziggler's year. This is where they make or break. He needs that opportunity. The only thing that's keeping him from being a main event guy in this company is the company behind him. So I'm going to say Dolph Ziggler wins the Royal Rumble, and he goes into WrestleMania and beats Seth Rollins for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. He doesn't have to hold it for long, maybe a couple of months, but I think he gives Ziggler that WrestleMania moment that he's very well deserving of. You also solidify him as a main eventer for years to come, which is what they need to do. They need to build those main event superstars. We need to get away from the John Cena's, folks, and we need to start building new stars. And while Ziggler's been there for 8 years, his time is now.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I would have no problem if they did that. It all hinges on how they're going to bring him back, obviously, from him being quote-unquote fired.
Which was stupid. Fucking, I hate the way that they played this out, but let's see what they do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have no problem with that. I don't know. I mean, don't forget, Ziggler was, albeit not for a long time, he was a world champion in, you know, on the SmackDown, well, back when we had the title splits. So, yeah, I mean, I could see it. And people went, even back then, when he cashed in on Del Rio, they went apeshit nuts. Look, Ziggler has been over for a long time. And it's just, like you said, it's not his fault. The company just won't get behind the kid. I don't get it.
Well, that's my main event. What's yours?
I think I booked my stuff more on what I expect them to do. I think I took it in a little bit different direction than you, what I expect them to do, which with the current booking would be the best things they could do in their utter stupidity. I've got an interesting main event. I think they're just going to do something with Roman Reigns. I don't think there's any way around it. And I see the main event this way. It's going to be Rollins as the champion. I agree with you there. And it's going to be a triple threat match with Roman Reigns, who obviously is his, you know, former Shield member. And in that is also going to be, just for the superstar aspect of it, Randy Orton, who's going to have a bone to pick with Rollins. And this is all providing Orton can get back in time. I could see them doing that. Triple threat main event. Orton wants his revenge on Rollins. Reigns obviously is pissed off at Rollins after what happened to the Shield. But you can have that dynamic where you think that, oh, you know, Orton and Roman are going to be on the same page. But I think, you know, throwing Orton in that main event as he's been promised that title match over and over again, and especially what went down with the Authority, I can see them doing that.
That's not a bad main event. I don't know that I put Randy Orton in that spot. I do have a specific spot for Randy Orton on my card, but I don't know that I put him in the main event. But that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I can't wait till you get to Orton, because I have a feeling I know where you're going to put Orton, and it's where I had thought of putting him at first, but I mean, and mind you, I don't think in my scenario he will win the title. Orton is the champ. I think that's, you know, that's done at least for now. I'm not saying he'll never have a, you know, WWE title again. I'm sure he will. But for right now, just put him in there with that star power. So if and when Roman does go over, not only do you have Rollins in there, but you got a guy like Orton, which would help prop Roman Reigns up even more.
All right, let's go to our next match. This one's pretty high on the card. This one, I think most people would see it as a main event, but I want to go with the two guys who've yet to main event a WrestleMania, you know, get two fresh stars in there with Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler. But the match that I think would be key at this WrestleMania would be John Cena versus Roman Reigns. It's a passing of the torch, if you will, match. And I think Roman Reigns beats John Cena. I don't think Reigns is ready to be the champion. I think that they're about a year away from that. I think Roman Reigns needs more time before you give him that spot. I think WrestleMania 32, and I will expound on that as to who I think he should beat at WrestleMania 32, but I think that you go John Cena versus Roman Reigns, babyface versus babyface. It's just a matter of who's the best. And it's a passing of the torch moment where John Cena loses clean to the up-and-coming Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 31.
I like it. And what I would do is I would have Roman, if he would be capable of cutting this promo. His reasoning is, you know, John, I'm ready to step up. And you said a few weeks back, a few months back, all you kept talking about was if you want to step up in this company, you got to go through me. Well, John, I'm ready to go through you. You know, he wants this match to prove a point. I want to, before I even go for the title, I want to beat the top guy in the company. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I think that that would work. I think that that would work really well. So that's kind of where I'm going. You could even put the stipulation maybe that the winner of the match becomes number one contender to whoever wins the title if you wanted to go that route. But I think that that would be a... To me, that would be a money WrestleMania match, John Cena versus Roman Reigns.
Yeah, no, I'd have no problem with that. I think that would be a great way to really elevate Roman Reigns if you want to do it. I agree. I don't think he's ready yet. Again, I'm booking it more from, in my head, what they're going to do. So, next, I have the one that I think everyone is thinking of. And again, this all hinges on what they want to do. But I... With all the mentions he's been making, how butthurt Triple H is over the Survivor Series, he's gotten adequate revenge on everyone who fucked over the authority except one guy. I've got a feeling we're going to get that Triple H versus Sting match.
I agree, and I actually have that as my next match. I actually have Sting versus Triple H, and I just don't think The Undertaker... is coming back this year. It's unfortunate because I would love, rather than Sting Triple H, just to be a money match, I think Taker and Sting would be amazing. The storytelling, I think, would be great. But in all honesty, I think Triple H and Sting would probably be the better match because Triple H can carry Sting, if need be, to a decent match. And I think that the revenge storyline is there. Obviously, he cost the authority... not that it matters now because they're back. But yes, I do have Triple H versus Sting as a match on my card. And I think that it's pretty obvious here. Sting would go over and get his WrestleMania moment. So I'm in agreement with you on that one.
Wow. So I just completely screwed up our rotation.
No, that's fine. Now you go to your next match.
Well, here's one you might not agree with, but... I want to see this because I want to see my boy just get elevated to the moon. There's rumors this is going to happen, and if they're true, I'm down with it. I'd actually like to see Taker go up against Bray Wyatt because it's those the two dark aspects. You know, Taker isn't going to get in Bray Wyatt's head. Bray might even get in Taker's head. But the only way I would be down with this match, and here's where people are going to get pissed, is if Bray Wyatt goes over. if you're going to really push this guy, because he's almost, in my mind, sort of the new Undertaker. He's that dark, crazy guy who cuts promos in a, you know, dark, secluded basement room. I think Bray could benefit greatly from having a match with Taker. He's done with Dean Ambrose. I don't want to see that anymore. There were great matches. It was fun. But obviously, it's over. What more can they do to each other except murder? So I just think if Taker can wrestle, I think it should be against Bray Wyatt, and he should put him over.
See, I disagree. I don't think that you need Bray Wyatt versus The Undertaker. And after Brock beat The Undertaker, what's the point? You know, I don't want to see The Undertaker, who's, you know, looking like, he looks like a grandfather. You know, I don't want to see him take on a guy that's much younger than him. And I don't want to see Bray Wyatt lose to The Undertaker. And I don't want to see The Undertaker lose again. So I think this is a bad idea. So I'm going to go ahead and give you my next match that involves Bray Wyatt. This is the direction that I would take this character. Last year, we saw Bray Wyatt face off against John Cena, and John Cena beat him at WrestleMania, which really did Bray Wyatt no favors. If it were me, again, fantasy booking, feel free to agree or disagree, folks. I think the guy that Bray Wyatt needs to step into the ring with at WrestleMania is none other than the guy that's been number two in that company for so long. I'm talking the Viper, Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt, and Bray Wyatt goes over. Orton puts him over, and that puts Bray Wyatt over on a whole new fucking level if he beats the Viper.
I like that, too. I like that, too. Because, you know, Orton's another cerebral character. Orton's a fucking nut. And have him be that nut that, you know, before he went to film that movie. Don't make him that hardcore babyface again. Make him that anti-hero. You know, he could pull that shit off because Orton can be crazy as a freaking loon when he wants to be. So, yeah, I could see that. I mean, Orton would be another guy who losing to Bray would put Bray way over. Yeah, sure.
And you could easily set that match up at February's Fastlane, which is, I guess, the substitute for the Elimination Chamber, by giving Randy Orton, when he returns, his vengeance against Seth Rollins. So say Seth wins the Royal Rumble. Well, he wins the title at the Rumble. And his first title defense could be against Randy Orton, who comes back for vengeance and is looking for his shot at redemption. And Bray Wyatt ends up costing him the match, and Seth retains. So then you can kind of transition those two into a feud. And just think of the promos back and forth and the in-ring work between both of these guys. I think this could be a sleeper of a match at WrestleMania. I think that those two would work well together, and it would be high profile really for both of them. I think it would be a big step up for Bray, and I think that Orton, who's been there for what, the last 10, 12 years, it would be good to see him help elevate the new talent because he doesn't seem to have a problem doing so.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see. This one, I'm going out on a limb. Daniel Bryan is back. I think come hell or high water, he has to be in WrestleMania some way, some shape, some form. Not in the title match. I don't think that's going to happen. But something we haven't seen before, and I think it could be a hell of a match. Providing Brock loses the title, I've got Brock against Daniel Bryan. Just, you could build a reason for it. You know, Bryan could say, I never lost that title. And, you know, you've been off TV all this time. I was out with a legit injury and was praying and dying to come back. And meanwhile, you know, Brock, you had this title for months and I never saw you. I wasn't on vacation. I was fighting for my life, hoping I could come back and do the thing I love. And that insults me. And I think this could be a great match between Brock and Daniel Bryan.
Believe it or not, we're on the same wavelength. I had this down as well, Brock versus Daniel Bryan. And the way I would set this up is maybe you've got a backstage vignette at the Royal Rumble where Brock's walking around with the fucking belt and he runs into Daniel Bryan and Bryan says something, you know, I hope you hold on to that belt tonight because you'll be facing me at WrestleMania and I'm going to take that championship from you. And Brock kind of sneers at him. And then, of course, Brock loses the belt. And maybe they have a, you know, maybe Brock Lesnar goes out there and is the guy that ends up
costing Daniel Bryan his shot at the title by eliminating him from the Rumble. Maybe he goes out and throws a couple guys over the top rope and hits an F5 on Daniel Bryan and throws him out. And that sets it up. I think that that would work as well.
All right, so we got one here. We had one where we were completely far apart. Now we got one where we're on the same wavelength. You know,
this we've had two. We've had two. We had the Sting and Triple H and Brock and Daniel Bryan. So we are two so far out of these matches that we both are on the same wavelength.
And at the end of the day, regardless of which one of us gets what they want, it'll probably end up being better than what they do.
That's a given.
Right.
All right, so next up, I think this goes without saying, and it's a no-brainer. They've been building Rusev up to be this unstoppable Russian, and they put him in there with guys like Jack Swagger and, you know, fucking Big E and guys that just couldn't beat him, okay? They started something with Ryback. I think you go full bore with this. WrestleMania, U.S. title match. Rusev defends against Ryback, and Ryback defeats the Russian, and he makes a run with that U.S. title for a while. I think that's the way to go. This also lets you do other things with Rusev. Now, remember, I said earlier that I want to see Dolph Ziggler beat Seth Rollins and become WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Well, the next step for Rusev in dropping this title would be to elevate himself to the next level. So I say by SummerSlam of 2015, Dolph Ziggler is beaten by Rusev, and Rusev becomes the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
He's sure as hell bad enough to do it as far as being a heel. I mean, absolutely. You know, I think they've sufficiently pushed Rusev enough now where you can't say he's that new guy anymore. He's up there. He could definitely be a guy who you put in contendership for that WWE title at some point. He's a monster heel at this point. He's got great heat. You know, and I think you may have to kind of, you can keep the America versus Russia, you know, gimmick, but I think I like the way they're doing it with Ryback. And as much as Ryback says, look, this isn't about U.S. versus Russia. This is just about me wanting to kick your ass. And I think that's the way to go, that maybe they need to tone that down a little bit, but still keep it in the back of your mind.
Well, so, you know, and I mentioned this earlier, too. I said that this is not the year that Roman Reigns should win the Rumble or should win the title at WrestleMania. I think it's you know, WrestleMania 32. Okay, that's where you pull the trigger on Reigns,
right?
And that main event should be Roman Reigns versus Rusev, who is the WWE champion at that point.
Yeah, I could see that definitely. You let Rusev be a monster heel. You let your Roman Reigns go up to be a monster face, and then you put them together. Sure, you know, now we're going ahead. We're thinking of WrestleMania 32. But
see, I'm making the point here. I'm building up all these guys. You've got Seth Rollins, who's now, if we go by what we're going with, he wins the title at the Rumble by cashing in his Money in the Bank after the match. So he becomes champion. So he's been elevated to the main event status. Dolph Ziggler, he beats him at WrestleMania. He's been elevated to main event status. You've now got Roman Reigns, who beats John Cena, who's getting to that main event status. So he's a main eventer. He's just not the champion yet. Then you've got Rusev, who was undefeated, or at least he wasn't pinned or he never submitted, and was the champion for all that time. And even though he loses the U.S. title, he gets elevated to where later in the year he becomes the WWE champion. So you've then built another main event guy for the future. And with Ryback beating Rusev, you've got that upper mid-card guy that's on the cusp of the main event and could be thrust into the main event scene. You could even give Ryback a run with the championship in the next year or two if you elevate him properly. But I think a good U.S. title run for him would do wonders for him.
Yeah, you got to stop this thinking ahead and building superstars. We're talking about the WWE here. You know, we got to rebook Raw at 3 p.m. What are you thinking?
I know, and I'm not a soap opera writer. Look at this shit.
Building for the future, man. I might as well give my Rusev pick. I just think without him being in the main event, see, what I'm afraid of is I would love to see Ryback get that match at Mania. But the problem is, I still think somewhere in their idiotic minds, I think Ryback Rusev is going to happen before Mania. And at Mania, we're going to get Cena Rusev. Because I think that, I kind of think they're going to want a new challenge for John Cena. And it's going to be him against Rusev. Now, if they want to continue making Rusev a monster using my idea, you would make Rusev go over because a U.S. title would do nothing for Cena other than the fact that he can say, I just want to win that belt, you know, make it about USA and Russia again. You know, he's the Marine. You know, I want to win that belt and bring it back home. And I can see them going that direction. I fear that this Ryback push, I'm hoping it's long term, but I have a feeling that eventually Cena and Rusev are going to meet. And I think Rusev is big enough now where it can be done at Mania.
Yeah, I think that the John Cena Rusev idea wouldn't work because, again, John Cena beats Rusev. He's the U.S. champion. What the no. You know, after being the 16-time world heavyweight champion in my scenario at the Rumble, and then getting beat by Seth Rollins after a cash-in, he's now going to be the U.S. champion? I don't buy that. I just don't see that as an option. I think that you don't need to put Rusev in there with Cena. Maybe you do after he becomes champion, and maybe Cena can't beat Rusev. You really need to, if you're going to go that route with Rusev, where he loses at Mania to Ryback, and then later in the year, whether it's SummerSlam or Night of Champions or Survivor Series or whatever, and he wins the belt, you really got to make him strong going into WrestleMania. He needs to beat a John Cena. He needs to beat a Ryback. He needs to beat the top guys in the company so that Roman Reigns comes along and gets that big shine. So I think that any other way, putting Cena in that match would be horrible. It would do nothing for Rusev. I don't see it. Unless Rusev beat John Cena, which I just don't see happening.
Yeah, that's the way I'm thinking it, you know, that he actually goes over. But you're right. I mean, you know, look, you know, the thing with John Cena is I think he's kind of on the wind down at this point. And that's the only reason I'm saying I think that if they did do him and Rusev, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be perfectly clean, not a clean win, but Rusev goes over. And this won't be anywhere near the end of the show, so you can send, you know, it's not like you're sending the fans home pissed off that Rusev won. You're going to have more stuff after it. But I don't know. I just have a feeling that's where they're going. I hope that, you know, they do your scenario and they have enough stock in Ryback to put him in that spot where it'll be, you know, him and Rusev at Mania and not before. I just get the sinking feeling they're going to do it before.
Yeah, we'll see. My next match, this is going to be interesting. I was trying to figure out where would I put Dean Ambrose on this card and what high-profile match would I give him. And unfortunately, I don't want to see him with Bray Wyatt. Obviously, I booked Bray and Orton. I don't want to see him against Rollins because we've already got that figured out. I don't want to see him against John Cena. We've already got that figured out. I think the next best thing for a guy like Dean Ambrose is to go after Bad News Barrett and become Intercontinental Champion.
Damn, that was going to be mine. I changed it. Ah, shit. Yeah, definitely. I got no problem with that. You know, having these two, I don't know, have these two ever wrestled each other on the main roster? I don't believe so.
I think Barrett's been out for the longest time, so I don't know. It would be a fresh matchup because I don't recall seeing it. It would be a high-profile match for a guy like Barrett. Putting the Intercontinental title on Ambrose would be kind of cool. You know, he doesn't even have to win that title. You know, he could just go out there and beat the crap out of Bad News Barrett. I just think it would be a good match, and it would be a good match for both of those guys. A nice high-profile thing. Whether you like Barrett or not, I mean, in my opinion, he's one of the guys that they really want to elevate on the card. So I would say put him there.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with him, you know, winning the IC title. I think it'd be good. You know, it'd be a good way to start him on his way up. You know, and you know, I have no problem with that, and I think it'd be a hell of a match, too. So, yeah, that'd be good. Just thinking of the ways he would fuck with Barrett too would be cool, because you know Barrett tries to be, you know, he's the refined, you know, Englishman, and you've got this crazy bastard. Yeah, it could be some good promo work as well. Now it's interesting. I was thinking, what could you do with Ambrose? And what I have here is, I've got Ambrose against the Big Show. And the reason I have this match is because I think that he's kind of getting interwoven into this authority gimmick now. And with Big Show being in the authority, now I'm not saying this would be a great match. Perhaps it'll be a match with a stip. In fact, I think it has to be. It'll be like a, I don't know, maybe a hardcore match, false count anywhere, something like that. But I think maybe just to, you know, show how crazy freaking Ambrose is, he's going to take on this 7-foot monster. That's how nuts he is. And I think that might work.
It's not a bad thought.
You know, I just,
you know, to me, Big Show being in a high profile match, like a 1-on-1 match at WrestleMania, I don't know. I do have Big Show somewhere else, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. I don't know. I mean, we've already got a David versus Goliath match and Daniel Bryan and Brock. So I don't know that I would book two, but I see where you're coming from.
I wonder if you got Ambrose where I'm thinking. Not Ambrose, excuse me, Big Show. I wonder if you got him where I'm thinking, because I have another idea for a guy he could go up against. It'll be interesting to see what you have.
Well, I'll just transition into that. I don't know if they're going to do this, but last year it was kind of a big deal, and I thought it was going to be a yearly thing. So I think next up you have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and you put in a guy like Big Show, you put in Kane, you put in Luke Harper, you put in Rowan, you put in Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, maybe you put in Goldust and Stardust, and you know, a lot of the other guys on the roster that don't get a high profile match. And if I had to pick a winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal in my scenario, it would be Luke Harper.
Yeah, that could work. Providing they're going to do it again this year. I'm assuming being last year was the inaugural one, that they're going to have one. Yeah, Luke Harper. There's a big guy who could win it, sure.
And it's a big moment for him at WrestleMania. So, you know, I think that he would be the guy. It didn't do shit for Cesaro, obviously, but I think it would be big for a guy like Harper to win that.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a big dude. He's definitely good in the ring, you know. And let's see, Cesaro won it last year. It could set up a good psychological angle down the road for like Big Show. You know, I'm the new giant in WWE, and 2 years in a row I couldn't win this thing. And maybe you could use that next year to pimp it out at WrestleMania 32 to pimp out the you know, Andre the Giant Memorial again by having Big Show pissed off that 2 years in a row, the one guy who should have took this couldn't.
Yeah, it could work. But again, I guess there'd be like 20 guys in it. I mean, I'm not going to list all 20 guys. I mean, obviously, it'd be your fodder. You know, a couple of guys, Sheamus would be in it, obviously. He was in it last year. I don't have any place other than that on the card for Sheamus. I don't care. It's not that I hate Sheamus. I don't see him as a main event talent anymore. I don't know. Maybe if you brought him back as a heel and did something with him, I just don't see him as that guy anymore. So to me, he's just another guy that's fodder, you know? So put him in the match.
Yeah, I think that's where most of your, you know, guys are going to get their WrestleMania moment who just don't, you know, again, this sounds horrible, who don't warrant a singles match or a tag match. I think that's where they'll go in this Andre the Giant Battle Royal. It's really a good way to, you know, give some guys the spotlight. I like the idea. I hope they do it again.
Now go ahead.
Where I put Ziggler was, I've got, because I have a feeling they might drag this out just for the way he got his ass whooped. They're going to have Ziggler and Barrett for the IC title at WrestleMania.
See, I think that's a step down for him. He doesn't need that belt. I mean, he, to me, in my eyes, he's been elevated. Now that he's no longer the champion and the fans are behind him 100% and he has them eaten out of the palm of his hands, I think that he needs to move on and get away from being Intercontinental Champion. He's already been like 20-time Intercontinental Champion. I mean, what more can he do with that belt? It's time to elevate him up the card. So I completely disagree with that. There's no reason to put him in the Intercontinental title picture anymore. He deserves better.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, how do you let him get his revenge on Barrett then without winning the title?
He doesn't need to, because it wasn't about Barrett. It was about the Authority.
Yeah, but still, Barrett whipped his ass, man.
Okay, Barrett whipped his ass, but he did it because of the Authority. They allowed him to win that championship to get back at Dolph. So really, the story is not Barrett, it's the Authority. And what better way to stick it to them than to beat their top heel, their guy, in Seth Rollins, and become the one thing that they don't want him to be, and that's the World Heavyweight Champion.
True. True, but we're praying they'll pull that trigger. I don't know. We'll see.
They probably won't, but my scenario is much more exciting than what they can book.
I would mark the fuck out if they did it, I'll tell you that.
All right, let's move on to... I do have a tag team match on the card. It's really been mostly just singles matches here. So let's mix it up a little bit. I think the Usos are defending their tag team championship against the Ascension.
All right, so we can just skip mine, because that's who I have down to. Abso-fucking-lutely. I think by that point, the Ascension will be, you know, look, there's no tag team division. It's not like you got to spend, you know, a year again building a tag team. And I think the Ascension has so much fucking heat, which I think we'll get into the next time we speak, because I have a lot of thoughts on that. Yeah, absolutely. I think the Ascension has to go for a fucking, you know, tag title shot. They're talking too much shit.
Originally, I also had The Miz versus Damian Sandow on this card, but I decided, fuck it, they can go in the Battle Royal. Maybe that's the culmination of the split, is maybe Damian Sandow eliminates The Miz, and that culminates in their split.
Interesting.
I don't think that they have to have a match at WrestleMania. I think Sandow's over enough that he doesn't have to have that moment at Mania. I think that you really just have that split happen at WrestleMania or the night after, and maybe you go a different direction. But I put these two in that Battle Royal. So it is what it is.
All right, so we're in agreement on... Now, here's my question. Would you have the Ascension go over? Because I would.
Yes, I would have the Ascension beat the Usos in a very dominant fashion at WrestleMania. I'm not saying a squash, but I think that, you know, they dominate them, and they come out as tag team champions. And they have a pretty good run with the belts.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm down with that. I mean, I just a butthurt on this team, man. And I mean, the commentary's not doing them any fucking justice either. It's just, oh, I'm trying not to rant on this so bad. I'll hold it in. I'll breathe.
Hold it in till this weekend on the next episode of Unplugged. Hold it in.
Okay.
I have two more matches. One of them is a women's match, and the other is the pre-show match. So the women's match that I have devised for WrestleMania, couldn't think of a better one. It's not going to be a multi-diva contest. It's not going to feature all the divas. Because really, who gives a fuck?
Right.
The only match that I want to see at WrestleMania between two divas is I want to see Charlotte from NXT, who's already made her debut on Raw, challenge Nikki Bella for the WWE Divas Championship with her dad in her corner and with Brie in Nikki's corner. And Charlotte at WrestleMania becomes the Divas champion with tears in the eyes of Ric Flair watching his daughter on the biggest stage of them all win the coveted Divas championship.
Man, fuck you, okay? You did it again. I can't believe this. That's who I had too, man. And at first, I was going to put Natty in there instead of Charlotte because I was thinking, like, you know, will they bring Charlotte up by then? But yeah, that's who I have down too. I would love to see that. I think Charlotte is definitely good enough. She's proven herself. She's not just living off the Flair name. She can go. Girl can go. And I'm just so tired of the Bellas. I don't give a shit if they put Cher in there and she takes the title. I don't care. I'm sick of the Bellas. I can't stand it anymore. And I'd love to see a real, you know, pure wrestler like Charlotte get that title and then maybe get serious, you know, have Charlotte against Natty. Can you imagine that? Have, you know, Charlotte defend against even Paige. I mean, look, as much as we talk shit on Paige, she can wrestle. So, yeah, definitely, man. I have the same scenario, man. I'd love to see Charlotte brought up to the main roster. I didn't have the idea of the, you know, the fathers involved there, Ric Flair, but definitely that could be cool.
Well, it would be a great moment to have Ric Flair watch his daughter win a championship at WrestleMania. You know, right. and just the emotion welling up, you know, he hugs his daughter. He's got tears in his eyes. He's babbling. He's crying like a baby. And, you know, she's crying and they're holding the championship up. And, you know, it's that passing of the torch from one Flair to the other. And I think that that works. And that's what I would do. That's the only women's match I would want to see at WrestleMania because it's the biggest show of the year. And you know what? Charlotte, in my opinion, is the most talented diva that's really not on the main roster. And I think she deserves a chance to be there. And, you know, she's already been the NXT Women's Champion for fucking ever. And nobody's beaten her. It's time to, as much as I hate to say this, because I love watching her on NXT, it's time to move her away, bring her to the main roster, and let her reinvigorate this Divas division and actually bring in wrestlers. You know, Sarah Del Rey has done a great job training those girls in NXT. And I think that you're seeing that. And I just think the rebirth of the women's division, the Divas division, is just around the corner. And I think it starts with Charlotte Flair.
Hey, man, I can hear that. So let's see. We've had like two ties. So I guess I'll give my pre-show match away. You know, I think that the Miz and Mizdow split is going to happen sooner rather than later. And I think it's going to happen at the Rumble. Anthony and I even did like a few scenarios where this could happen. Where like maybe Miz gets eliminated and he tells Mizdow, hey, man, you know, jump over the top. You're my stunt double. And Mizdow's like, fuck you. I want to win the Royal Rumble. And I think that breakup will lead to them being on the pre-show match. I'd like to see Miz versus Sandow. I'd like to see Sandow beat Miz to a bloody hulking pulp. And that'll really make the fans happy going into WrestleMania because Sandow is over like fucking Rover.
Yeah, it's not a bad match. It doesn't beat mine. I'll tell you that now.
Oh boy.
You're going to shit your pants when I tell you what the pre-show match. Given that it's WrestleMania, given that NXT is such a huge thing that they need to promote, I say you have an NXT championship match as your opener in the pre-show to get people pumped and to show the millions of people that will buy WrestleMania what they're missing out on. So I think NXT is what you use for that pre-show. And if I were booking this with the Magic Ink Pen, I would make a fatal four-way NXT title match with Sami Zayn, Finn Balor, Adrian Neville, and Kevin Owens.
Okay.
Boom. Boom. They have an opportunity to steal the show and to show everybody out there what NXT is and what the stars of NXT do. That's how you start the show. Boom. Right there.
All right, here's my biggest problem with that scenario. Who will be the be-all, end-all in charge of WrestleMania?
Well, Vince. Probably.
Here's my problem with that. You put that match on as the pre-show, and instead of watching WrestleMania, everyone goes and watches reruns of NXT. It's like, don't get me wrong, in a competent wrestling world where sane people were running things, that would make perfect sense. But I almost think that there's a mentality in that company, JJ, that match would be so fucking good that it might detract from WrestleMania. Now, mind you, I'm thinking like an insane person here. I'm just trying to point out your idea is brilliant, except for the fact that I think it's too damn good for a pre-show match.
Well, like I said, you're obviously showcasing the top talents in NXT.
You're putting the title on the line. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did that to see Kevin Owens walk away the champion.
Hey, look, man, I'd be the first one to applaud them if they did. I mean, you're right. It blows. I mean, look.
Hey, WWE, I got a challenge for you. Top of my card.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have agreed on a lot of matches, disagreed on a lot of matches, and I'll concede that one. That is a much better match than mine, but, you know, I just think they're going to want to keep it main roster. I mean, how many pay-per-views have we all sat here and said, oh, man, I hope they have an NXT match, you know, as a pre-show, and what do we get?
But the difference is, and I haven't said that for everyone, this is WrestleMania. This is when the most people put eyes on your product. People that don't buy the network tune in for WrestleMania because it's the biggest show of the year. That's where they get their buys. That's where people are going to come in and check this out. So why wouldn't you, on the biggest stage of them all, put a match out there for NXT that, A, is kick-ass and will fucking deliver fucking heart-pounding, sitting on the edge of your fucking seat action, that's promoting this brand that you, as the person who doesn't watch their network on a regular basis and only tune in for big shows, you watch that and you're like, holy fuck, that was awesome. What is this NXT and where can I see it? It's wonderful for promotion when you think about it. So why wouldn't you? On the biggest show of the year, yes. All the other ones, not so much. This one, yeah. You need to have some NXT exposure on this show to point people to NXT.
See, and here's the thing I wasn't thinking, and it just popped into my head as you were speaking. You make sure that also airs. Don't make it a network exclusive. I'm not sure now how the pre-shows work, but if you actually want to, you know, still pay for the pay-per-view on regular pay-per-view for $80 or whatever it's going to be, do you get to see the same pre-show the network does?
You should.
Right. That's key in your plan. Your plan is great, but let those people who are still sandbagging and who are still willing to pay $70 for a freaking pay-per-view see that NXT pre-show and maybe say, you know what? Fuck clicking this order button. I can see this on the network too. You never know, man, in that last 10 minutes, you might get some people to run to their computers and watch WrestleMania on the network instead, which at the end of the day is what they want. I mean, let's face it.
But that, ladies and gentlemen, is my WrestleMania card, and Bronx has given you his as well. Now, after we archive the show, we'll post these, obviously, so that you guys can, you know, comment on them. But
yeah. I mean, again, I think we took it in little different directions. You're making sense. You're booking what you would book if you were really in charge. And I wanted to do that, but I think I forced myself to think in WWE logic, what would they do? And I think that's why I came up with my pick. So we were on a little different, which is good because it made for two different, you know, viewpoints of it. But I mean, a lot of monkey wrenches have been thrown into wrestling, especially Daniel Bryan. I mean, him coming back and like announcing he's going to be, from what I can gather, full time again. That really, because up until a couple days ago or a week ago, I really didn't factor Daniel Bryan into WrestleMania. But he's a huge wrench to throw in there now that he's going to be available.
You know, and it's good that he's back. But my issue is he had his WrestleMania moment last year. Okay. He won the big one. I don't want to see a repeat of that. No offense, and I'm not saying he shouldn't ever again. I just think that right now, the guy that is white hot babyface in this company is Dolph Ziggler. Maybe it's just the fact that I'm a Ziggler mark and I've been on this bandwagon for so long. Maybe I'm seeing things differently, but to me, he's the hottest babyface on that roster right now. He has come in and done a great job. Look what he did at Survivor Series alone. He carried that fucking match, and he made it fucking great. And the fans are behind him. It is his time. There's nobody else in that company that I think is deserving of winning that Rumble right now, other than fucking Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, I think what happened with Roman Reigns is, I mean, obviously, number one, I mean, the injury. I mean, him being out that long, man, did that derail shit for them as far as he's, you know, he's concerned. Because, you know, that's a huge gap that I think if he hadn't have gotten hurt, they would have filled with putting him over. I don't think they've had enough time now to put him over to be the guy at WrestleMania.
No.
I agree with you wholeheartedly to push that off another year.
He needs a year, and I think next year is his year, and they need to kind of take his character to make him one that's intense. He doesn't necessarily get on the microphone and cut a promo. He just makes it, you know, very simple. The only thing I liked about Bill Goldberg was that he wasn't someone who got on a microphone and cut promos. Goldberg said, "You're next," and he went out there and he beat your ass. And that's exactly what Roman Reigns needs to be. He needs to be this generation's Goldberg. He goes out there, obviously has longer matches than Goldberg. He's a better wrestler. He's a better worker. But you give Roman Reigns mic time, it's, "I'm coming to kick your ass. Bleed at." That's it. That's all he needs to say. He doesn't need to say anything with words. He needs to go out there and beat people's asses and fucking move on and smile about it and look ominous and menacing. Like, he doesn't give a fuck. He's just there to spear a hole through you and move on to the next guy. And if they do that, that's a formula for success until he can learn how to speak on a microphone. But cutting promos and saying shit like "thuffer and thuckatash," fucking forget it.
That was written for him.
Fucking forget it.
What's that?
Just forget it. It doesn't fucking work. He doesn't need scripted promos. He doesn't need to really talk. He just needs to go out there and, "You know what, Big Show? I'm going to punch you in the fucking mouth." End of story. He just needs to be Bill Goldberg to some extent. He does not need to be Dean Ambrose or Seth Rollins. He just needs to be a badass. And they need to build him up over the next year and put him through guys like Cena. Put him over a Rusev. Put him over everybody on that fucking roster in lieu of him getting that big shot at WrestleMania next year against a guy like Rusev. So don't put him in there with Rusev till Mania unless you have him beat Rusev after Rusev's lost the title, before he gets the world championship. And then you revisit that rivalry at WrestleMania. I just think Rusev is the guy that elevates Reigns.
Well, I mean, you saw the rise and fall of WCW, right?
Yes.
Kevin Sullivan said it himself. The thing about Goldberg was I didn't have him speak. It was like Mean Gene would be like, "Bill Goldberg, my God, you just came in here and you beat, you know, your winning streak is 500-0 and you just killed this guy in the ring. He's being stretchered out. What do you have to say?" And Bill would just turn around and walk off. And Mean Gene would sell it like, I'm trying to talk to this man. He just won't talk to me. And, you know, even the entrance. Can you imagine if Bill Goldberg never existed and they did all that with Roman Reigns, where they just walk to the back, knock on the door, there's half a dozen cops escorting him to the ring because he's that dangerous? Oh, man, that would have been great. What a guy who actually has talent in the ring.
Well, he already comes down to SWAT gear, which I hate. I mean, can we get this guy some wrestling attire?
I think I would almost get rid of the coming through the crowd, too. You know, that was his shield. He's too much like a one-man shield. Does that make sense?
He still has the shield music.
Well, I like that music.
But what I'm saying is he still has it. Let's go with something else. I mean, let's keep him a badass, but let's kind of look at his heritage, too. I mean, you know, he's a Samoan, not a Somalian, like Booker T said. He's the wrong color to be a Somalian. He's a little dark, but he's not quite that dark, Booker. I just think that he needs new ring gear, he needs new music, and he needs to embrace the Samoan heritage. You know, I'm not saying, you know, put him in a fucking haka and, you know, have him do the tribal dance with the Usos, but put him in some fucking tights or something. You know, I'm just not a fan of his ring gear. I think that it's too shield. It needs to be, the shield is over. It's done. I don't think a guy in riot gear needs to be wrestling. I'm not a fan of the gear, honestly.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think they need to redo his gimmick a little bit more, you know. And like you said, you don't want to take it too far where, you know, he comes out and, you know, tribal music and shit like that. But I don't know. I think he needs to be somewhere in between the Usos and The Rock. You know, kind of like he's Samoan, but he's not. It's not all about that. I mean, I get what you're saying. And like I said, the shit coming through the crowd, you know, it's too much like it's almost like that guy who's holding on to a memory that's gone. You know,
yeah, like, exactly.
He feels like he still has that memory of the Shield. And like, you know, Dean Ambrose has gotten away from that. Seth Rollins is as far away from the Shield now as you possibly could be. So, yeah, I think you really need to get people's mind off the Shield and get them more back on Roman Reigns. I agree.
But that's our thoughts on WrestleMania and where they should be going. And, you know, if we had the magic ink pen, what we would do. I'm telling you now, we booked a better card than they will. Make no mistake about it. We just booked a better card than WWE will.
You know, the only positive that I take out of all of this, with us sitting here doing this, is that one thing that everyone was terrified of for years is when we were in that era where it was just John Cena and we're always like, who could take that spot? And we went through lists of guys and there was no one. But now they've got a lot of, man, young talent there. Your Ziggler's, your Roman Reigns, your Seth Rollins, your Ryback, your Dean Ambrose, your Bray Wyatt. Thank God they've at least, if they've corrected one wrong, they have brought up some guys, some characters now that we're captivated in and we're invested in. They're guys who we like. We both sit here and talk about how much we both love Dolph Ziggler and we both like Ryback. Thank God they've kind of gotten over that slump where they weren't building new characters. They have been building new characters, but what we need to do now is build them further. And I think that's what WrestleMania should be.
And like I said, with our cards, that's pretty much what we did. We elevated a lot of guys, gave a lot of guys who have been new to the roster over the last couple of years that much-needed boost in the arm to get them to that next level. You got a guy like John Cena who at this point in his career needs to be, you know, putting people over and helping to make those stars. You know, I think that's the way to go. I mean, I'm no John Cena fan by any stretch, and I respect what he's done and who he is. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of done. You know, I don't really want to see him in the main event scene. I want to see him as a special attraction that's used for certain things. You know, a guy that's helping to elevate the younger roster. You know, he can still have matches and he can still have, you know, wins and losses, but you know, let's take him down and not make it the John Cena show. Let's find that new guy to build around and not only have that one guy, but have several other guys that can fill the void if that guy gets hurt so that this guy can take the ball and run with it. And you don't have to scramble and be like, oh my God, who are we going to push because Cena's going to be out for a year? What are we going to do? And they have been at that point for years. Now you've got a crop of talent that you can elevate, and we can kind of get it back to the way it needs to be, where John Cena's down, but guess what? Ambrose is picking up the slack over here, and Rollins is killing it as a heel, and Ryback's right there ready to take somebody's spot, and Ziggler over here is white hot. He's the champ. He was the champ. He's ready to go get his championship back. You've got all these guys in the mix if you fucking do this. As opposed to, you know, it's still the John Cena show.
Yeah. You know, oh, my God, Hulk Hogan got hurt. What do we do? Well, shit, Warrior's right here. Oh, my God, but who's the Warrior going to face? Well, we got Randy Savage. But what if something happens to Randy Savage? Well, we got this guy. I mean, that's the way it used to be. See, you have your lower card, you have your mid card, you have your, you know, main card. But I think you need to make sure you have a good upper mid card. Those guys who just need a little push to go over the cliff and be the next guy. Guys who you can keep in reserve in case something happens to your top baby face. And for years they haven't had that. You know, Cena gets hurt. Who do we push? And crickets filled the room. Mm-hmm. Now, JJ and I can sit here and list 3, 4, 5 guys who you can push if Cena gets hurt. Maybe they've finally gotten it. Maybe they've finally understood. It's just where they go. You know, with our luck, fucking Cena wins a belt at WrestleMania, you know?
I just don't see that as being an option right now.
I hope not, man. I hope not. I think both our cards tonight reflected the fact that even though we might have been radically different on some matches, both of us tried to do everything we could to build up guys to be, you know, the next top star. I think that's in our subconscious what we both wanted out of this.
Well, you know, another thing that this remedies too, you know, that whole Vince McMahon on the Stone Cold podcast, there's a lack of guys reaching for a brass ring. You go with my scenario and you've got all kinds of guys reaching for that brass ring.
You know, Dolph Ziggler has been swinging from that brass ring for the last year. And the only problem is that the fucking rope holding it up won't break. You know, I mean, come on. That was the most asinine statement. When you're at a point right now in your company where you have more up-and-comers than you've had in the last 10 years to make that idiotic statement, I think it just goes to show Vince's mental health. He's fucking shot.
No doubt. Just a couple programming reminders. We will be back this weekend for Unplugged. I know this is crazy. We're going to have 2 episodes in 1 week. I'm not turning into the Chris Jericho or Stone Cold podcast. This is not going to be a regular thing. Don't get used to it. It will only be 1 a week unless we have an interview, which could happen in the next few weeks. We might be bringing on somebody that's closely associated to the recent announcement of the Macho Man Randy Savage Hall of Fame induction, which I'm super psyched about, and I'm not going to take the time out on this show to talk about it. We will talk about it this weekend, but a tear did come down my cheek last night as I watched the announcement and relive some of those memories with the Macho Man, but we will talk about that in depth. And we might have Lanny Poffo join us in the next couple of weeks to talk about what his thoughts are on this Hall of Fame induction of the Macho Man Randy Savage. So if that happens, we will do another show where it's just the interview and maybe we'll talk about something else, but it will not be a regular episode. It'll be a special, you know, interview episode, if you will. That's what we're going to do going forward. If we have interviews, they're going to be a special episode off to themselves.
I think what we'll do if we get Lanny Poffo, when that interview's over, JJ and Bronx fantasy book, hold on, Fastlane.
Oh, God.
No.
I don't even think they need a fucking... Honestly, they need the Rumble. They don't even need a pay-per-view in fucking February. You need a long build to WrestleMania. You don't even fucking need to have another show. But that's just me.
Fastlane is fine as long as Nick Hogan is the guest host.
Yeah, maybe. Sure, why not? Not the guest host, but maybe he can drive all the talent to the arena. Oh, wait, then there won't be a show because they'll be in a ditch somewhere.
Well, one good thing, if he drives them all to the arena, then we'll really have a wrestling with death.
That's horrible.
Yeah,
that's
going
horrible.
To going to hell.
On that note, we're going to wrap things up. Make sure you check out all the programming here on the SNS Radio Network. Shows like Beyond the Bell, your nostalgic podcast with Sean Beckerman. You missed the AWA, WCW, ECW, the NWA. You know, he covers it all. Were you going to say something?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
You're doing the pimps. I'm waiting.
All right. Shows like the whole indie show with Sandro and Ashley, sometimes Randy, talking about all the independent stuff. Make sure you check those guys out. Running the Ropes, I think, is coming back very soon. Stay tuned to Facebook for upcoming announcements on the re-debut of Running the Ropes. Get in the Zone, another popular podcast here on the SNS Radio Network with some jabroni. What was it? Tony Jabroni from New York City and A-Fart, Anthony Pop- Farley.
That's new.
You never heard of that show?
No, popular. That's new.
Oh, okay. Okay, an unpopular show on the SNS Radio Network, Get in the Zone. They cover SmackDown and Impact, which apparently is on Destination Unknown.
I don't get it in Canada. So I'm just saying.
No.
Okay, that's going to be Song of the Night, Destination Unknown. I got to find that. From the Top Gun soundtrack, that's it. In memory of TNA, Destination Unknown, Song of the Night.
Coming to a rabbit ear antenna near you.
But don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. Dixie Carter was recently on the Jim Ross podcast, and she said that she's working on a network deal in Canada, darling. So there you go. There's your update. Let me see what other shows are on the SNS Radio Network. Shows like the Elite Force podcast, if you're into Star Wars, Star Trek, mainly fucking Doctor Who, because that's all the fuck they talk about anymore. And I don't fucking follow Doctor Who. I'm not a Whovian. I don't give a shit. But hey, if you're into that and you're into sci-fi stuff and opinionated guys, Walkie and Mindwipe are two guys you should check out. So the Elite Force podcast exclusively right here on the SNS Radio Network.
In New York City, the last time I traveled anywhere in a phone booth, that was to the hospital after I got fucking mugged.
Which is a pretty regular occurrence, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I always thought maybe you were, because I know whenever I don't watch something, you like jump on me, but I'm not a Who guy either. I don't think I've seen one.
Sunday Night Showdown, the only remaining live show on the SNS Radio Network, ladies and gentlemen. We stream live every WWE special event / pay-per-view. So the next one will be the Royal Rumble. What is it, January 25th? Myself, Bronxzilla, and, of course, Mark the Shark DiCarlo covering that show from top to bottom, giving our perspectives and thoughts. You know, you guys know all the programming here on the SNS Radio Network, so you know, give it a check out. Sticks and Flicks with Ashley talks movies, soccer, free 60s, fucking Thor shows up every once in a while. You know, it's just some fucking zany shit on this network. So you guys know the routine. Keep up the support. And speaking of support, one of the best ways to show your support to the SNS Radio Network and all the podcasts on it are to donate. You can do that on the main page there. It really is the best way to show your appreciation for us here on the SNS Radio Network. On that note, we're getting the fuck out of here. We'll see you, or we'll talk to you this weekend for the next official episode of 2015. Some things will be different. New intro, new sounders. That's going to happen this weekend. So on behalf of Bronxzilla, Tony J. Mirabella, I am Mr. Money on the mic, Jeff Jackson, and we are going to call it a night. Happy trails. I'm not even going to play that shit tonight. We're out of here. Song of the Night, Destination Unknown, from the Top Gun soundtrack, dedicated to TNA. Happy trails, my friends. Happy trails.
What was that? Where can I find TNA? Destination Unknown? Yeah, that sounds about right.
Available on your local cable package. Or maybe not.